From the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Happy Independence Day. No emerging artists tonight, back again in August. Later tonight, assessing the higher self. And in a moment, mentalist Uri Geller joins us live from Israel. What does he know about UFOs? Here's what's happening. Well, happy birthday, America. 245 years old, and despite some of our shortcomings, we're still the best country in the world. Fireworks all over the country tonight and tomorrow night celebrating the 4th of July festivities. You know, they once said about democracy, it's a poor form of government, but all the others are far worse. Be thankful if you live in the United States. Tyson Foods is recalling nearly 8.5 million pounds of ready-to-eat chicken products because they may be contaminated with listeria, according to the USDA. The frozen, fully cooked chicken products were produced between December 26th of 2020 and April 13th of 2021. The still-standing portion of that partially collapsed condo building in Surfside, Florida, was brought down using explosives tonight. The move occurred after 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 days after that shocking collapse of much of the residential Champlain Towers structure on June 24th that so far has resulted in 24 confirmed deaths, 121 people still unaccounted for. Very sad. Dr. Anthony Fauci said that Americans traveling to places with a low COVID-19 vaccination rate should go the extra mile and wear a mask even if they are fully vaccinated. The Delta variant of the coronavirus is quickly spreading globally, leading to lockdowns in some countries that previously had few reported COVID-19 cases. Now, the variant, first identified in India, is said to be even more contagious than the British variant, now known as Alpha. Let's check in with Christian Wild, author of Miracle Stem Cell Heart Repair. Christian, you've done a little research for us on this Delta variant. Exactly what is this thing?
Well, it's out of hand, George. The CDC cites five states in the United States already experiencing a major outbreak of this new mutated Delta variant that you just mentioned, which is, George, 60% more easily transferable from person to person and even by casual contact of a few feet. This variant originated in India, as you said, and has already been identified by the WHO in 80 countries.
Jeez.
And is quickly becoming the predominant strain. Because, and here's a little good news, because protection from this new strain, according to the CDC, comes from the available vaccinations, and according to Dr. Fauci, even though this is not 100%, this may be our best protection. You may have heard of the woman in Missouri who did not want to get a COVID-19 shot for fear of side effects, but unfortunately caught this new variant and died. With the emphasis on hand sanitizers and hand washing, Raina McIntyre, head of the biosecurity research program at the University of South Wales, explained a new twist that makes a lot of sense. She said, this virus is in the air we breathe, so even if someone carrying the virus we encounter casually has come and gone, the virus can still linger in the air. And according to McIntyre, if you walk through an area exposed even hours later, the virus can still be lingering and remain infectious.
Well, it's airborne, Christian, as I've been saying from the COVID days early on. Christian's website, myheartbook.com. Senior White House economists poring over job data for the last several months have seen virtually no progress on a key measure of economic health. Even after President Biden's $1.9 trillion stimulus plan passed, the percentage of younger U.S. workers either employed or searching for a job remained unchanged. Catherine Austin Fitz, our expert on such matters. When are we going to see some change here with the jobs numbers, Catherine?
So jobs are way below the level that, you know, sort of our pre-pandemic level. And I think it's important, George, to understand that 34% of the small business in America are estimated to have been shut down. And that includes 60% of the African-American businesses that are estimated to be shut down. So, you know, this is the greatest sort of event of disaster capitalism. And although, you know, Anthony Fauci says these ridiculous things, you know, I think the people know they're being attacked. So people don't start new businesses when you literally have a situation where you're paying taxes to a government which is functioning as a criminal enterprise and using health to engage in massive disaster capitalism. The thing that's really squeezing people is the printing of money by the central banks. I mean, this is really an attack of the central banks on the U.S. using healthcare policy. So, you know, I don't think people feel enthusiastic at all. I think they feel like they're in a war.
Yeah, they feel trapped. Catherine, thank you so much. Catherine Austin Fitz. The western United States, already stricken by a severe drought, now has plague of grasshoppers to contend with. Agriculture officials have launched the largest grasshopper killing campaign since the 1980s as the insects strip an already ravaged land. The swarms are so dense they cover roads and they're pelting bicyclists as they pedal by. Defending world champion Joey Chestnut broke his own world record Sunday, devouring 76 hot dogs and buns in 10 minutes during Nathan's famous international hot dog eating contest. It was the 14th time the top-ranked hot dog eater in the world won the title. I hate to be around that guy tonight. With a career spanning more than 50 years, Israeli mystic Uri Geller has seen almost everything, from famous figures to historic events, and according to him, that even includes aliens and Nazis. Geller has been in the headlines recently for his role in helping England win at soccer in the Euro 2020 games, having given a detailed interview to the Jewish Telegraph newspaper about helping England beat Germany with his supernatural powers, and having predicted England's victory against the Ukraine in the quarterfinals. He claims to have done everything from move spoons to help Boris Johnson get elected in the United Kingdom, and even helped dislodge the ever-given container ship from the Suez Canal. But his powers also may have given him a close encounter of the third kind. In a moment, we go live to Israel with Uri Geller on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George and Uri with you. Our friend Uri Geller back with us, the world's most investigated and celebrated mystifier. He is very famous around the globe for his mind-bending psychic powers and has led a very unique life shrouded in debate, controversy, mystery. Uri has been studied by scientists who worked with Albert Einstein, worked with the FBI and CIA, has been a pupil of Salvador Dali, and he is also related to Sigmund Freud. Let's go live to Israel. Uri Geller on Coast to Coast. Uri, welcome back, my friend.
Hey, George. Thank you very much for having me on your show again. And yes, I'm speaking to you from Old Jaffa in Israel. Old Jaffa is adjacent to Tel Aviv. And 5 years ago, my wife Hannah and I decided to come back to our homeland after 48 years of living abroad. We lived in New York for 10 years and around 33 years in England. We're very happy here. I bought an amazing 1,000-year-old building, and I turned it into a museum, into the Uri Geller Museum, simply because I had unbelievable material and exhibits and gifts that I got from friends around the world. And they were just all over our house in England, in a small village. And, it's hugely successful. I have hundreds of people, of course, you know, no tourists now.
Right.
But locals come to see the museum. And it is really rather extraordinary and amazing. Yesterday, for instance, I got the Rolling Stones guitar, Mick Jagger. They all have signed it. Next to that guitar, I have the Moody Blues. Justin Hayward sent me a guitar. He lives in Monaco now. I have things from Albert Einstein, Salvador Dali, Leonardo da Vinci, my Cadillac, which stood in the Museum of Israel. So, yeah, you, when you come to Israel, make sure that you join me on an amazing tour.
You are going to get an automobile and put bent spoons all over it. Did you ever end up doing that?
Of course. That's my Cadillac, and I'll tell you the story. In 1976, we lived in Manhattan, and I wanted to show off. I wanted to show my friends in Israel that Uri Geller made it. I was so shallow then. I was on an ego trip. I was on After Fame and Fortune. So I went out and bought a Cadillac in Potomac, New York. It was so huge. It's a Fleetwood Brougham, 1976. It's so big that I couldn't drive it in New York. And it was sitting in the garage under the building in Manhattan on 57th Street. When we left America to England, it was in my garage in this small village called Sonning-on-Thames. And then I got this idea to weld all my spoon collection. I have 2,600 spoons that belong to very famous people, from Napoleon to Kennedy to James Dean to Barbara Streisand. I mean, I can go on and on. So we tried to weld it on the body of the Cadillac. It didn't work. We tried to glue it. It didn't work. And then we just simply riveted 2,600 spoons and knives and forks to the car. It looks unbelievable. The Museum of Israel saw a picture, and you know, the Museum of Israel, George, is one of the most prestigious museums in the world. They begged me to donate the car. I said, no, I will loan it to you. It was even in Baltimore in the Museum of I think it's called Modern Visual Arts, in the harbor in Baltimore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the car, and it's in the museum, George.
Uri, you're making lots of headlines lately. I want to talk about all that tonight. But let's go back a little bit. When you're 27 years old, you're on the Johnny Carson show. It's 1973. How did they find you? At that point, were you well-known enough where they brought you on the Carson show? How did that all happen?
Oh, well, the word got out that the CIA is studying me in Palo Alto. Obviously with the help of Captain Edgar Mitchell, the astronaut, the sixth man on the moon, who became a great friend of mine. And the production of Johnny Carson invited me. I didn't know that I was basically walking into a trap. And, you know, Johnny Carson was an amateur magician. He was a skeptic. So I sat there for 22 minutes, humiliated. I'll never forget those moments. The spoon that I bent in Ricardo Montalban's hand, who was a great actor at that time, wasn't enough for Johnny Carson. And I remember he was holding a cigarette under the table, smoking. And I thought, that's the end of Uri Geller. I'm finished. I was sweating. It was just awful knowing that millions and millions of Americans were watching me being humiliated. So after the show, I got back into the hotel. I believe it was a Hilton in L.A. I fell on the bed, and my plan was basically to pack up the next morning and go back to Israel. I thought I was destroyed.
Yeah, you thought it was all over, didn't you?
Yeah, it was all over for me. And guess what happened? The next morning, the operator calls me from downstairs, and she says, Mr. Geller, I have a Merv Griffin on the line for you. And I said, what? You mean the Merv Griffin? She says, he says that's who he is. And it was Merv. And Merv says to me, Uri Geller, I saw you last night on Johnny Carson. I want you on my show this week. And that's when it dawned on me. That's the moment that I realized, George, that controversy is great for me. Controversy fuels the wheel of publicity. The skeptics injected mystique around me. They created the mysteriousness, the enigma around Uri Geller. James Randi, who was a great magician who died recently, was my greatest publicist. I own him and the skeptics 1,000 bouquets of flowers because the Johnny Carson show launched my international career.
That's absolutely true. I remember watching you live that night out of that. At that time, I was in Detroit, and it was just unbelievable. And I think back in 1996 or 7, I met you briefly at the Jewish Center in St. Louis, where I think you were invited to do your bit. And but you're right about the amazing Ramsey. Randy. He's dead now, of course. But
yes,
he was set out to try to destroy you. You know that.
Oh, listen, I met him 2 or 3 times, and I'll never forget the day. Look, he's passed now. He's somewhere up there, you know. But, and I don't think we should talk about a person that died.
I understand.
One incident I have to tell you, and then we'll just get on. David Blaine invited me. David Blaine, a famous mentalist magician in America, invited me to one of his stunts. It was outside Donald Trump's building. He buried himself. And we were good friends. And suddenly I see James Randi there. So I tell to my brother-in-law, who was holding a film camera, I tell him, you know what, let's walk over to Randi and just tell him, hey, let's make peace. So I walk over to Randi. Very few people know this. And I stretch my hand out to shake his. And I say, hey, Randi, let's put all the animosity behind us. Here is my hand. Let's shake hands. And he didn't want to shake my hand. And I said to him, and Shippy, my brother-in-law, is filming all this. And I say to Randi, Randi, why aren't you shaking my hand? And he looks up at me. He wore a kind of a long robe, a black robe, and he looks up at me and he says, because I hate your guts.
Oh, my gosh.
So that was that said it all. But you know, George, 100 years ago, Oscar Wilde said something really so important and directed at me. He said, there is only one worse thing in life than being talked about. And that's not being talked about.
Exactly. I got an email tonight, Uri, from someone who said that he had heard James Randi, that when he died, he wanted his cremated ashes blown in your eyes.
Oh, absolutely. it's funny, but not funny, because that, you know, if you blow anything in anyone's eyes, you know, that's a physical.
You could get infected. Something could happen.
Anyhow, let's go on.
Yeah, we got a couple minutes before the break that I want to get into with these breaking stories that are all over the place with you all of a sudden. It's truly remarkable. But let me ask you this. When you were a little boy, didn't something happen with a UFO event that kind of changed everything for you?
Yes. When I was 5 years old, living in Israel, in Tel Aviv, I had a very unusual encounter. Even today, I can't bring it down to what exactly it was, but I was playing in an Arabic garden opposite our apartment building. We were talking about 1952. And suddenly, a sphere of light appeared in front of me. And I, you know, what can a 5-year-old say? Out of this sphere, almost a laser beam type of a ray hit my forehead. It was so powerful that it threw me into the grass. I don't know how long I lay there. I ran home to tell my mother. She didn't really believe me. She thought I was either dreaming or making it up or lying. But very soon after that, the first spoon bending happened. But now let's go many decades ahead. I get an email from a retired Air Force officer, Israeli Air Force officer, who says to me, Uri, I just saw you last night on the BBC when you were telling this story. Well, let me tell you something. I saw it. I was there.
Wow.
I saw you, and I saw the sphere of light. He was a young officer walking back on Rothschild Boulevard to his parents' home, and he saw me in the garden with his sphere of light. And he even told me that it followed me when I ran back home, and it exploded on the facade of our building, leaving a dark residue.
Hold on for a second, Uri. We're at the break. We'll come back and finish that story, and then we'll find out what happened to you with the Mossad, which changed everything. We'll take calls next hour with Uri Geller. We've got more to talk with him about. There's a lot of breaking news with him over the last several weeks. We'll get right into that when we get back in a moment on Coast to Coast. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, along with Uri Geller. Uri, I'll let you finish up that story. So a witness saw the same UFO that you saw.
Yes. George, before we continue, will you allow me just to mention my new book?
Of course.
Called Uri Geller, Learn to Douse. I basically teach people how to use the world's most powerful search engine, our intuition. And you can see my website at urigeller.com. I'm on Instagram, the Uri Geller. I'm on Twitter. Let's go back to that officer. He told the story over and over again because he was stunned when he saw that sphere of light and a little boy running away. Now, George, you know that there's no doubt that a lot of skeptics are listening to our show, to your show, and those people who basically do not believe in the powers of the mind or in Uri Geller or maybe even in UFOs. Well, let me just read you all out something from the official CIA website.
Okay.
You'll be quite amazed because if you don't believe me, just go to their official website, the CIA. And this is what the CIA concluded. As a result of Geller's success in this experimental period, we consider that he has demonstrated his paranormal perceptual ability in a convincing and unambiguous manner, CIA. So,
wow.
George, I've worked with so many scientists worldwide, beside Mossad, MI5, MI6, scientists like David Bohm, who was a good friend of Albert Einstein, Nobel Prize physicist Brian Josephson, and so forth. Every scientist that tested me under laboratory-controlled conditions validated my powers. So I have all this background, but then I also appeal to the tabloid media, because I do strange and quirky and bizarre things. But there's nothing wrong with that. I never had a manager. I never had an agent. I don't have a PR company. I don't have image makers. I go with the flow. I catch opportunities that pass me by. I know how to do that. And I guess this is why after 50 years, I'm still relevant. You know that in the last 2.5 months, I was on the front page of the British tabloid 7 times.
Wow.
I myself can't believe it. But that's me. That's Uri Geller. I've always been down to earth. I'm always nice to people. And I'm still at awe how, George, I managed to instill spoon bending into world culture.
And you created quite a stir about a week or so ago when you tweeted some information that had never been known before by a lot of people. What did you do?
What happened is, if we're talking about the UFO arena,
yeah.
That's what you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is a story that very few people know. When I befriended Edgar Mitchell, he comes to me one day. You know, he visited me many times in England. He comes to me one day and he says to me, you've got to meet Dr. Wernher von Braun. And I say to him, look, Ed, Dr. Wernher von Braun was a Nazi. You know, just Google Dr. Wernher von Braun's name and then click on images. You will see that although maybe one time I believe I saw him in uniform, maybe I'm wrong, but he's surrounded with German officers. And of course, instead of prosecuting, Kennedy decided to bring Dr. Wernher von Braun over to America to use his brain, his mind, because he was a father of the rocket. I believe that he was the instigator of V2, which crashed into London. So I tell Ed, you know, part of my family were murdered by Nazis. But, you know, George, my curiosity killed me. I said, I've got to meet this person. Anyhow, we get to NASA. I walk into Wernher von Braun's office. And before that, I had a CIA camera, a Minox, because at that time I was working for the CIA on all kinds of espionage missions in Mexico and so forth. So they gave me a little spy camera, and I give that to my brother-in-law, and I tell him, you've got to take pictures, otherwise nobody will believe me. So we enter von Braun's office. He walks over to me, and he looks into my eye, and he says to me, look, Uri, I heard about your powers. If you can bend my wedding ring in the palm of my hand, in my hand, he says, without you touching it, I will believe in your powers. So he takes off his ring, puts it in his hand, clenches it, sort of holds it tightly, and I put my hand over his hand without touching him. Anyhow, the ring bends, it becomes an elliptic shape, and then he says to me, and now come into my inner office. So we walk into his office, and there's a big safe in against the wall, and he starts opening it. The door opens, a very thick door, and there is a piece of metal inside the safe. I've never, ever seen such a color. It was almost like this metal was breathing.
Mm-hmm.
It had a pearlish hue to it. He takes the piece of metal out. It's rather light. It's not heavy because he just pulls it out easily. And then he says to me, now, Uri, put your hand on this piece of metal. Tell me what you feel, what you think. So I place my hand on it, and I say to him, I feel that this is not from Earth.
Wow.
He says to me, you're right. This is a piece of a crashed UFO. And
was it from Roswell?
Come with me. Come with me. So I elbow Shippy, and I say, take pictures. So we walk out to the parking lot. Tell me, George, do we have a few minutes for this story?
Yes, we do.
We walk out to the parking lot. Shippy snaps a picture of me and Wernher von Braun next to his limo. He tells me, come in into the car with me. We sit in the back. There is a driver. And the driver drives deeper into the NASA base. We arrive to a building that is concrete, no name on it at all. I believe that there was either a Marine or an American soldier opening the door for us. And we walk into the building. We descend into the building, I believe, three or four floors deep. He tells them to Shippy to leave the place. Shippy obviously obeys him. And we get to a corridor, this is so powerful in my mind. And on the cord, inside the corridor, there are hooks on the wall. On the hooks, there are orange warm coats, like the ones you wear in Antarctica to keep warm. On it, there were the logos, the embroidered logos of NASA. He says to me, put this on, and he puts one on. And then we walk over around the corner to a huge refrigerator door. There was a writing over the door, refrigerator, something of that nature. Look, this happened a long time ago. He opens the refrigerator doors, and my jaw drops. And this is my red line, because I'm signed on certain documents, non-disclosure, and so forth. But you can all imagine what I saw in these refrigerators. It was a big refrigerator room, like the one that has, you know, in factories where they have meat and all that.
Right.
I was shocked.
I know what you're thinking. My gosh.
I wasn't surprised.
How many of them were in there?
All along, during all my years, that these exist.
How many were in there, Uri?
I can't really talk about it. I can't, because they still want to travel to America.
Is this one of the reasons why you've kept this quiet for so many years?
Yes, because I have certain things that I signed. And now the UFO explosion, the press, the media, and Pentagon admitting that there are certain UFO phenomena that they have film of pilots talking about, hey, we saw UFOs, we saw things that we cannot identify. Am I correct that there are over 140 sightings that Pentagon cannot explain? Yeah. Am I right, George?
You are right. You are right.
And that's why I've decided to, and you can get on my website, you can see all these pictures all that Chippy took of me and Werner von Braun in his office outside his parking lot. It's just mind-blowing. Now, let me go further, and this will increase the enigma. Just recently, believe it or not, I spoke to Dr. Carol Sue Rosin. She was the spokeswoman of Dr. Werner von Braun.
She was his assistant.
She started writing a book with Ed Mitchell. Ed Mitchell died, and she's now going to continue this book. And Dr. Carol Sue Rosin basically validated my story. She's an amazing woman. And I spoke like an hour with her 4 days ago. And I would like to mention that there is another woman involved. She is no longer alive, called June Crane, who worked with Werner von Braun. And she held the piece of spaceship that I held. Then there was the incident at the Lawrence Livermore Radiation Labs, where I was taken to see if my mind can trigger a nuclear bomb, because the Lawrence Livermore Radiation Labs is where they build nuclear weapons. And ET were involved there too. Just read books. Read Annie Jacobson's book, Phenomenon. It's unbelievable how ET are intervening and basically keeping kind of a peaceful energy around Earth so we don't use nuclear weapons. I was also taken to the American Naval Surface Weapons Center. So there is so much information. There is so much credibility and validation about what I'm saying, George.
Oh, absolutely. And Edgar Mitchell used to tell me great stories about you. He loved you, or he thought the world of you. And I think he told me a story, or you might have told me the story, about his NASA tie clasp that he lost, and it ended up being an ice cream that you were eating or something like that?
Yes, I was in the cafeteria of SRI, Stanford Research Institute, which later turned to Stanford University. And I was eating ice cream. But before that, we were walking the corridor towards the cafeteria, and we hear a strong kind of clang. Something hits the wall and falls on the floor, and we pick it up. It's a piece of something. It was gold. And Mitchell didn't recognize it. Then we are eating in the cafeteria. I'm on my dessert. I ordered vanilla ice cream. And as I put the spoon into my mouth with the vanilla ice cream, I feel that in my mouth there is something metallic. So I spit it out, and I see Ed Mitchell's face ashen. He became white. And he pulls out the piece that came flying in the corridor, and he pieces them together, and he says, "My God, this is my tie pin. I lost it years and years ago on a beach in Florida." Wow.
That's amazing.
So many of these incidences happened to us with MI5, with MI6. And after the commercial, I will tell you the most mind-blowing incident that has to do with the National Security Agency. You won't believe what I will be telling you.
Uri Geller with us. His website is his name, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. The Dowsing book is out now, available for people, Uri?
Yes, it's on Amazon. It's called Uri Geller, Learn How to Dows. And most of the profits I give away to sick children. I'm a wealthy person, and I don't make my living out of shows and books, so it's a tool for me to help sick kids around the world.
In a couple minutes before we have the break here, how are things in Israel now? Are the bombings, the missiles, that's tempered now? That's stopped?
That's now stopped. We had missiles. I've looked out of my window here in Old Jaffa. I saw missiles flying over our head. People died on both sides. People died in Gaza. People died in Israel. Thanks God it's over, and I'm, you know, all for peace. I negotiate peace meetings with certain very powerful individuals around the world. And believe it or not, I even have Donald Trump's cap, Make America Great Again, in my museum, signed for me by him.
What does your mental mind think about him running for a re-election or election in 2024?
Well, look, I've known Donald because I was in the middle of everything in New York in the 70s. I lived on 57th Street.
You were right there. You were during the action.
I was right around the corner. So that's where I met everyone, from John Lennon to David Bowie to Mick Jagger to everyone. And I was unique. I wasn't a singer. I wasn't an actor. I wasn't a sports person. I wasn't a politician. Everybody wanted to witness a spoon bending
yep.
in front of their very own eyes with the power of the mind.
Does he run in 24? Yes or no? What do you think?
I have to get permission from him to answer that.
Ooh. We're going to come back in a moment with Uri Geller. We're going to talk a little bit about the NSA, and then we'll take your phone calls right here on Coast to Coast AM.